Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell so you know every time we go live. We just went live on the Elon Musk, Donald Trump stuff the other day. We try to do it when big things happen, so join us. Jasmine Crockett 2028? Sure, as long as it's for Democratic nominee and nothing else. Those shirts and mugs and everything else are available at StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. 10% off your order if you do that. We have Julio Rosas on the scene in Los Angeles. He's at the riots. He's hanging out at the riots. He's made an appointment. It's like a big birthday party. He's hanging out at the riots. Lots and lots of fun. He'll give us the latest from on scene. And we also have a new pro-life poll that is out. Are Americans actually becoming more pro-life? A Gallup poll has some interesting findings we'll break down. But we're going to start by doing the unmasking of Los Angeles. I was saying it was a big party. And it's true. I will say people were having lots of fun. I don't know if there was noisemakers. I mean, there was noisemakers, you know, as far as weapons being fired and things of that nature. But I don't know if you had the, you know, like the kazoo type noisemakers that you get on New Year's Eve. We did have lots of fun. There's good entertainment going on down there. And I just hope that the evil police don't step in and ruin what is such a good time.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
We wouldn't want that to happen. You notice the who's responsible there. It's not the protesters, not the people that set the cars on fire. It's not even that you'd move police in. You just don't want people to be moved in the wrong way, because that's the way they do it. They move the police in the wrong way. And that could cause some actual conflict in this area that looks like Beirut of the 1980s. That's the way you're supposed to think about that. Everyone's just having some fun watching cars burn. Now, Gavin Newsom has been flailing through this. It's been an incredible embarrassment. One that is just, I mean, if you think he did a bad job during the last batch of fires in Los Angeles, wait till you see this one. He's now got a new lawsuit. He's accusing Trump of unprecedented power grab in Los Angeles. Of course, it's not unprecedented at all. It's happened before in our history. And of course, it is his legal right. Even people who oppose Donald Trump are pointing that out in the mainstream media. Yeah, he can do it. We don't like it, but he can do this. Of course, Gavin Newsom going a step further and being completely idiotic as normal. President Trump has repeatedly invoked emergency powers to exceed the bounds of lawful executive authority. On Saturday, June 7th, he used a protest that local authorities had under control. Doesn't it look like we were just showing the cars on fire? Didn't it look like it was under control? To make another unprecedented power grab, this time at the cost of sovereignty of the state of California and in disregard of the authority and role of the governor as commander in chief of the state's National Guard, the lawsuit says. Now, Trump has said this before. Look, Trump says a lot of things. He kind of says what's convenient for him at the time. Many times when he's in the middle of interviews, he kind of just kind of blurts stuff out. A couple of years ago, he did actually, in fact, say he couldn't do this. He said it had to be the Insurrection Act had to be activated for him to be able to do this. He was incorrect then when he said that. That's just the truth. The liberals are like, oh, look at this. He said this back in 2020. It's a fair criticism. I mean, again, Trump oftentimes will kind of just go off the cuff, and that's actually not accurate. You are able to call out the National Guard in certain circumstances. This is what happened during the civil rights era as well. The same thing did happen. Now, right now, they can just basically protect these buildings down there. They can't really get in the melee. They don't have law enforcement capability. It's on a limited basis and an appropriate basis. We've seen what happens in these protests. Oftentimes, the target of these protests are these federal buildings. They want to make sure that doesn't happen. You know, Gavin Newsom can screw up the rest of the city, but the federal buildings they'd like to maintain. Now, Newsom, of course, always upping the ante. He sees this as an opportunity to just attack Trump and raise his profile inside the Democratic Party for a 2028 run. Obviously, he's been up to this for years and years and years and years now, just waiting and biding his time to run for president. Didn't have the balls to take on an 80-something-year-old guy who couldn't string two sentences together. No, no. He's too much of a party man for that. So he didn't run in 2024, but he is definitely considering a 2028 run. Here he is, with really reckless commentary at a tenuous time in our country. Here's Gavin Newsom.
Stop. These guys, these idiots that are jumping up on cars, that are burning these Waymos, these people, that's a disgrace. Mm-hmm. And the impact they're having on our democracy, there's a lot at risk here. I mean, this is not just a simple act of disobedience. They should be arrested. They should be held accountable. Anyone who attacks any innocent person, including a law enforcement person that's lawfully doing their job, they're members of our community just like everybody else. They go to the same churches. They're good human beings. Mm-hmm. And just because we don't like Donald Trump, just because we don't like their orders, doesn't mean you have the right to hurt or harm people. And that goes for them as well. And we'll hold them, everybody, to a higher level of accountability. But that's not what Trump is after. He's not for peace. Making. He's here for war. He wants a civil war on the streets of America, not just here. He's testing the boundaries by nationalizing the Federal Guard.
I see a couple things there. Of course, number one, his play to the middle continues in just absolutely unconvincing fashion. You know, he's as convincing as, certain high school and college swimmers are when they're competing in women's events. It's not easy to try to play like you're in the middle when you're obviously a leftist and have been for a very long time. So this pathetic kind of attempt to go to the middle, it just shows he's just not good at this. That's step number one. But step number two, he's trying to keep the Trump, fire burning. And I mean that literally. Like, he's trying to bring up civil war is a really reckless thing to do. Donald Trump does not want civil war. That is completely irresponsible for a governor of a state to just blurt out as if it's fact. But a lot of times these guys are projecting what they want, and maybe that's what's going on there. Tom Homan says Trump administration has no intention of arresting Trump. This is another big cosplay of Gavin Newsom over the past couple of days. They're coming to arrest me. He wouldn't rule out arresting me. Come arrest me, tough guy. I mean, and we played it yesterday. One of the legitimate, the worst performance since Geely. I believe it was absolutely pathetic in every single way. This guy who thinks he's endearing to somebody, I don't know, other than his best friend's wives, I don't know anyone who likes him. But that's the way that works, apparently. White House border czar Tom Homan told CBS News on Monday there's no intention to arrest California Governor Gavin Newsom after President Trump suggested he was open to the idea, escalating a war of words over the protests and law enforcement response of Los Angeles. By the way, that's a terrible summary of what actually happened with Trump. That whole thing's been taken out of context, Homan said. They haven't crossed the line yet. If they cross the line, I don't care who they are, the governor, the mayor, whatever. And when you commit a crime against ICE officers, we will seek prosecution. That was what was said. That was the context of what Trump was saying as well. If you cross a line, if you commit a crime, you might have heard the left saying over and over and over and over again, nobody's above the law. Remember all that? Remember when it applied to Trump? It was, of course, true. Now it's shocking that he wouldn't bring it up. And that's the most, maybe the most pathetic bit of hypocrisy from all of this. This claim that it would be the shocking thing if they tried to arrest Gavin Newsom after spending multiple years trying to throw Donald Trump in prison with four cases against him. Do they think we have any memory at all? It's absolutely unbelievable. And we should also note the raids that were going on, and there have been some around the country, ICE raids to get rid of illegal immigrants. One thing that happens to us in these moments of debate when we have longstanding issues of disagreement is we kind of tend to fall into these two channels, right? Like, we have you go on this side, I go on this side. It happens after every school shooting, for example. Oh, well, we need more security. Actually, it's not. We need less guns. Oh, well, we need more security. Well, that whole thing. We have the same debate every single time. The same thing has happened here in a way, in that We have this debate kind of brewing about, and it has been going on for years and years and years. You know, does the person that crosses the border illegally and lives here for a long time and doesn't commit any other separate crimes other than the associated crimes that go along with their illegal behavior, like illegal immigration and, you know, a fake social security number and, potentially tax fraud and all those other things. If they don't, you know, if they live as, generally speaking, a good citizen once they are here and once we ignore their other crimes, should you deport them still? That's a long-standing debate between the right and the left. The right typically says, we've got laws. Okay, you came here illegally, you get deported if you get caught. The left says, well, if you've been nice mostly other than that one crime, we're going to ignore that one crime, right? That's been the debate for a very, very long time. It's important to note, though, in this story, it doesn't really apply. The raids that were going on were going after and targeting serious criminals. These are the types of people that even people on the left, when they're in the middle of a debate, right, will say, well, of course, we want all the criminals, hardened criminals deported. But we're talking about good men and women of our society that have been here for years and years and years and never committed a crime, blah, 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 blah. That's not who these people, that's not who's being targeted. They weren't pulling up to Home Depots and just throwing people into paddy wagons. That's not what was going on here. This was a situation where they were targeting, you know, sexual felons, among other things. Serious criminals were being targeted here, and the left just doesn't care. That's what they do. I mean, none of this, you know, somebody posted this, I think it was a David Horowitz quote earlier today that I saw on Twitter. I can't remember who posted it, I apologize. But it was basically, the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution, right? It's not about this. It's not about trans rights. It's not about Hamas versus Israel. It's none of that. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with a movement towards this progressive utopia that's out there just beyond the reach, just beyond a couple, you know, million dead, just beyond a couple of gulags. Out there somewhere is this utopia that we'll finally get to one day, unless these darned capitalists, just like the darn kids from Scooby-Doo, keep stopping them. And, you know, this is a fight against capitalism. It's a fight against American society. It's a fight against American freedom and principles and the founding of this country. That's what this is. It's the same people doing the same thing all across the country every single time one of these things pops up. Now, the media, of course, is doing everything they can to run cover for these quote-unquote protesters. Brian Stelter is warning viewers to not trust videos of unrest emerging from L.A. riots because they could give a false impression. Why? It's a great question. Let me give you a couple things that Brian Stelter has said, and we'll get to that clip here in a second. But this one is what he said the other day. It was a clip that he said, which was, this clip is for all my L.A. friends who texted me tonight saying things like, I'm sure you know this, but 99.9% of L.A. is going about their Sunday normally. Now, of course, this is true, right? We all know that the entire city was not overrun by very densely populated groups of people who were lighting cars on fire and throwing rocks at police. I think we're all smart enough to know that. LA is a huge city. You don't have enough people in the city to even populate it that densely, let alone everyone throwing rocks. Probably 30% of the population is conservative that want nothing to do with this. You could import a lot of people, which a lot of these people, of course, were. But like, this is never an observation that makes any sense when, let's say, a school shooting goes on. They're never like, you know what? Actually, most of the school, it wasn't even involved in that shooting. They were in their wings and they were just inside of their rooms and nothing happened. And in fact, 99.9% of schools had no shootings at all yesterday. That's never an observation they come up with, is it? Never. It never is. They can never find the way to that logic. Now, there is some sense to point out that these things usually are in small areas. I told the story on radio and before, but we were out on tour. And we were doing a theater show somewhere, and I turn on MSNBC for some reason. This is years and years and years ago, and the former cable news personality, Rita Cosby, was on there. And she's on there, and she's in a boat. And I'm looking at the boat, and she's, like, next to a river, but not in the river. And she's floating around in a boat over, like, what is a street? And she's like, I'm at this corner of this street and this street. And I realize that's, like, the corner of my street. It's, like, right down the street from where I lived. And I start panicking. You know, I'm on the road. We're hundreds of thousands of miles away. I call my wife. I can't get her on the phone. And I realize this is like a block away from where I live. And I'm panicking. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we've got the dog in the house and we've got, all of our belongings. Like, what should we do? You know, is everything OK? I get her back on the phone. She's down the street like a restaurant. Every restaurant in town was open. Every road was open, with the exception of one or two. A couple of houses got some damage from this flood, but it was not even that big of a deal, and the rest of the town was fine. That doesn't mean anything to those two homeowners who had all the damages, right? It's still a significant event, even if, you know, MSNBC in that case was certainly overblowing it. Stelter also was talking about the unrest and how isolated it was. Here's that clip.
Look, on one level, protests are always about images, about spectacle. You might even say it's about theater. And we are seeing that play out in L.A. And I think it's valuable to have that perspective as we see some of these pictures, especially as we zoom out and we recognize that the unrest is isolated, is not overtaking the entire city of L.A. L.A. is home to millions of people, most of whom are having a normal day here on Sunday.
There you go. That's important. I will say, can we ask a quick question here? How many times is this going to happen? How many times is the left going to do this? They are busy, and they are doing this all the time. And every one of their protests is always respectfully received by the media. We get several of these protests seemingly every year now. Major protests where things are burned, you know, destruction is done over and over and over and over again. We get this, and almost all of them are much bigger than, let's say, January 6th. Now, January 6th had other connotations attached to it. I'm not denying that. I have been very, very critical of that day and continue to be. That being said, you know, people just ignore these left-wing protests. It's like as if they don't mean anything. They do. Let me just give you a quick little purchase. I think thinking of this going back to the beginning of when Donald Trump comes down the escalator, how many times we've seen this and where they have occurred. Obviously, throughout the Donald Trump presidency, there have been lots and lots of protests. Let me go through some of them. The Dakota Access Pipeline in 2016, the DNC. This is this is 2016 in the election period when Trump is obviously running at this point. But the pro-Sanders wing, the socialist wing, which is responsible for a lot, of course, of what you're seeing on the streets, they were protesting at the DNC to try to get that nomination. The Women's March against Donald Trump 2017 and every year after that when he was in office. The March for Our Lives. That was another one on gun violence in 2018. In 2020, they actually were protesting Donald Trump removing mailboxes. Remember that being a story for like a couple of weeks? Bizarre. Breonna Taylor in 2020 was more protesting. Black Lives Matter, George Floyd in 2020. In Portland, more George Floyd. That was almost a separate thing that turned into a separate thing, but was sort of motivated by George Floyd. You had the Kenosha unrest in 2020. You had CHOP and CHAZ in. Remember they came up with their own like city, and they just let them have their own city for a while. That was in 2020. When in 2022, they had the Dobbs overturn decision. That, of course, was a big one. The Doge protests that have already sort of happened here, and the pro-Hamas on college campuses ongoing since October 7th, and on and on and on and on and on and on. The overwhelming, you know, of course, pattern here is it's mainly when Donald Trump is president. There's a couple exceptions in there with Donald Trump's Supreme Court justices overturning Roe versus Wade, and of course Hamas, who were the beneficiaries of protests after murdering a bunch of people in Israel. You can do the math on that one. But generally speaking, this is what you see. They almost took Biden's 4 years off, and then Trump came back in office, and now it's all picking up yet again. Now, how does this happen? It happens because, of course, these are well-funded organizations that are intentionally preparing for these protests and going after it one by one by one by one, waiting for the right moment to increase the temperature, to increase the protests. And there's an example of this. Mysterious riot gear handed out to LA protesters raises questions. Yeah, a lot of questions. Watch this clip. This is from local Fox 11. And they're just kind of doing a live shot. And all of a sudden they see this pickup truck pull up. And all of a sudden they have lots of gear in the back. How does this happen in an organic protest? Watch.
This is not an organized rally like we saw earlier in the day, where you have the different organizations that are backing some of these protests.
Right.
This is more, she said, organic, and maybe that's what you're seeing there. I'm hoping that is.
What are those boxes?
Are those masks of some sort? Are those gas masks?
I'm trying to see what's
that. That doesn't look like food.
Yeah, those are.
Looks like masks.
Yeah, no, that's yes, those are masks. Yeah, so people are prepping for some sort of altercation with police as we speak.
I got news for you, boys and girls. That's not organic. That's not how that happens. People don't just have boxes of riot gear in their garages that they bring out every once in a while when cars get set on fire. Who's funding this? Who are the organizations behind it? We did do some of this and cover some of this on radio over the past couple of days. I encourage you to go back and look at that. Maybe we'll cover some of it here as well. But who purchased them? Where did they come from? How did they get there? Who's the person driving the truck? I hope somebody got that license plate. I'm curious. Finally, you have John Fetterman. Fetterman calls out the anarchy in Los Angeles, noting that the Dems forfeit their moral high ground by failing to decry violence. I unapologetically stand for free speech, peaceful demonstrations, and immigration. But this is not that. This is anarchy and true chaos. My party loses the moral high ground. He goes into talking about this, and you look at this and you say, well, that's common sense, right? Anybody can make a statement like that. It's not that big of a deal. But the Democratic Party, it is. You heard a little bit of an attempt at that by Gavin Newsom earlier, but it was, you know, obviously not heartfelt. It was just this sort of check-the-box cosplay. I think Fetterman actually believes this. He actually does think that maybe we shouldn't be burning things to the ground all the time. And it worries me because, we need to really embrace John Fetterman. We need to get him toxic on the left. We need to love him so much that the left decides, wait a minute, we can't put that guy anywhere near power, and we need to discourage other Democrats from doing the same thing. Because, look, John Fetterman is John Fetterman. I will say he said a lot of things that I've liked. He's certainly more on the opposition side than he's on our side. But he's been right on a few issues, and I cherish that from the Democratic Party. There's not many people like Fetterman left. He's also very, very flawed and has many, many problems, as we all know. It's unfortunately just not something that's going to happen for him, or fortunately, depends on how you look at it. I do worry, though, if a more competent Democratic candidate were able to kind of package this, left-wing populism type of financial and economic message with a law and order type of message on the right, shooting down his own side when they do things like this, it's a pretty dangerous package and would be difficult for Republicans to defeat, especially if you could maintain some actual discipline on that side. Obviously, Gavin Newsom is not capable of doing anything like that. But like a guy like Josh Shapiro, who's, shown this possibility a couple of times, I don't know that the Hamas wing of the party can get over the fact that Josh Shapiro is Jewish. Probably not. But I will say that type of candidate, if it was executed properly, could be very dangerous to the left or to the right from the left. Newsom, of course, not disciplined enough to do that. And I don't think Fetterman is the guy to do it either. Though I will say he's already been getting things leaked about him that he can't actually. All the Biden stuff that should have come out when Biden was president is now happening to John Fetterman, even though it doesn't seem to be true at all. He seems to be certainly much healthier now than he was during the campaign. And I hope he continues to get more healthy. I do expect like a Me Too allegation coming the way of John Fetterman any day now. He's hopped off the reservation for the Democrats and is critical of the Democrats. So any day I expect some accusation of some woman he never remembers meeting saying he did something to them. So we'll see how that goes. By the way, we don't need John Fetterman. We don't need Josh Shapiro. We don't need Gavin Newsom for president in 2028. We already have Jasmine Crockett, and that's the person we need to promote for presidency of the United States. Only for the Democratic nomination, not to win the actual election. That would be catastrophic for our country. But we do have the gear available now to celebrate this. Jasmine Crockett, 2028, for Democratic nominee and nothing else. And if you don't like that idea, I mean, are you a racist? That's the question really asked by the shirt and the mug and the sticker. Get yours at StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. You'll save 10%. StuDoesMerch.com. Summer. Who doesn't love the days that get a little bit longer? The sunshine, the pretending that we're all thrilled about sweating nonstop. I love it. But if you're going to spend your days outdoors, especially in Texas, you deserve a companion that is actually going to be able to keep pace with you. Enter Raycon Everyday Earbuds. These earbuds are your audio lifeline, offering crisp, clear sound for your music, for your podcasts, and for your calls, whether you're at the gym, ignoring work emails, or politely tuning out all the annoying people around you. These boast a huge 32-hour battery life, active noise cancellation, and multi-point connectivity. That's a great feature. Like if you're on your laptop and you're listening to like a podcast on your phone, you're working, you realize you want to hear a clip on your laptop, just press play. Comes right through. Really, really easy. With tens of thousands of five-star reviews, it's clear Raycon is keeping more people happy than your average politician, which is, I guess that's probably pretty easy. They did much better than that. Come in plenty of colors as well, because apparently looking stylish matters, not that I would know. The best part, Raycons cost about half of what you'd pay for other premium brands, and their 30-day happiness guarantee is in effect. Makes returns simpler than changing your mind about your fantasy football picks, which I often do, to the wrong pick. Right now I'm doing that in fantasy baseball. Head over to buyraycon.com. Buyraycon.com/2. Grab 15% off right now. Raycon's top everyday earbuds. They're awesome. You'll love them. And they stay in your ear. They don't actually fall out like all the other brands. Buyraycon.com. BuyRaycon.com/2. Your ears and your bank account will thank you. It's buyraycon.com/2.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
I want to bring in Julio Rosas. He's Blaze Media national correspondent. He's been on the ground in L.A. during all this nonsense that's been going on. Julio, how you doing out there, man?
I'm still alive. That's always a good sign. That's step number one.
That is a positive. Am I right to say that you were on vacation when all this started? Were you in Los Angeles?
No, I was on vacation in Mexico, which is kind of funny. I was trying to get in my vacation time before the summer really kicked off, but I'm a little bit rusty in trying to predict unrest since it's been 4 years since the last true riot I covered back in 2021.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've had obviously protests and stuff that's gotten a little bit out of control here and there, but nothing like 2021, certainly in the years. Before we get into the specifics of your time so far, are you expecting an escalation of this? There's talk about a bunch of events planned and, you know, next week. Do you expect this to keep going on, or are they going to be able to tamp this down?
I think so, to varying degrees. I mean, the thing is that Los Angeles in particular, they've been planning and preparing, the far left activists and networks, they've been planning and preparing for this moment for months. We saw that initial network in action when I was here back in February, where there were disruptive protests. It wasn't full-blown riots, but they also went out into the 101 freeway and disrupt traffic back then. There was a stabbing outside City Hall that I saw. So in the time since February, there's been even more hysteria over President Trump's immigration policies and plans. And so when this raid happened, I mean, that was the spark. They've been hyping themselves up for a very long time, and they want this. They want to fight physically in some cases against the Trump administration and his agents. So this provided them the opportunity to do that, and it's significant because the other places before this where there were disruptions and kind of riot, it only lasted for a few hours, up until the agents left. So I'm not surprised that this all started with Los Angeles specifically.
Mm, yeah, LA, of course, you know, has been the center of many of these types of incidents in the past. When we're talking about the spark that began this, it doesn't even seem to be like, I don't know, what you might identify as a central part of our immigration debate, right? Like, I mean, it started with going after hardened criminals. This was not going after like a bunch of people who were working at a Home Depot or something. This was like they're going after people who had sexual offenses, all sorts of nasty crimes. I mean, the left claims when they're certainly at the podiums and debates that these are the type of people they want to leave the country. But it doesn't seem like that's true, at least on the ground.
No, and it doesn't matter. That's the thing. They don't care. They just see that. They just see ICE. They just see HSI, Border Patrol. I mean, the riot that happened on Saturday in Paramount and then into Compton, they said, oh, it's an operation happening. It was a staging facility, which, of course, you know, they're bringing in extra Border Patrol agents to help reinforce the area. So they weren't even doing anything. They were just parked at a at a field office and getting ready I guess they were trying to be preemptive or whatever, but yeah, I mean, and that's how you know that they're full of it. They're absolutely full of it. They do not care about the immigrant community. Some of the stores that were looted last night, appeared to be run by minorities, maybe even immigrants. But it's not, they weren't just looting the Apple store. They were looting more local businesses. So this is just a repeat of 2020, where again, they said, the BLM movement was saying, we're supporting the Black community, the Brown community. And then those same people would go out and riot in minority neighborhoods. They would loot minority owned businesses, and they in some cases burn it down. So it's all a farce. This is just a reason to be violent, because they think that it's justified. I will say, though, unlike the BLM movement, this current immigration movement already faces an uphill battle in terms of perception, because BLM back in June of 2020, Pew found that they had a 70% approval rating. Mass deportations, and even just deportations of anyone who's here illegally, whether they're a hardened criminal or not, has a majority approval. That wasn't the case before Biden opened the border. So really, all of this, the whole reason why we're in this mess, and the people responsible for this is not the Trump administration. It's actually the Biden-Harris administration, because now Trump has to clean up the mess, and clearly some people don't like that.
Julio, describe for people who who see your work. They might see your clips on The Blaze or online or all the other places you've worked over the years. You wrote a book about these types of protests. What is a day like this like for you? Like, I mean, do you have to sleep, during the day? What is it like, and how do you find where to go? How does this work?
So one of the reasons why I actually enjoy covering riots specifically is because I get to be on what I call the riot diet. And that is, I can eat whatever I want, but only up to two meals per day, because usually, I mean, yesterday I only ate once, because that's usually all you have time for. But you can eat up to whatever you want for two meals a day, because you just burn all those calories and then some over the course of when you're walking and running with all your gear on for up to 8, 9, 10 hours. So I'm looking forward to my summer body getting back into shape. But no, really, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, but this is what I have the most passion for. I mean, I wake up, I go to sleep. I mean, I went to bed, I think, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time, which is my normal time that I'm on. And then you just wake up, you gotta get the videos uploaded. You gotta talk to people, guys, do these interviews when you have time, and make sure that you don't overlap. Cause people just, understandably reach out, but then you just hit the ground running. I mean, and the thing is that I understand how important it is to be as accurate as I can be in these chaotic situations, because the fog of war is real in these situations. I understand the responsibility that I have to be as accurate as possible, so that people who are not here and people who understandably don't want to be in this area, even locally, at least they have an idea of what's going on by looking at my work.
It's really important, because certainly we're not getting that from the mainstream media. We have some of your videos that we'll show them here as we're talking. Can you kind of give us a perspective of what you've seen over the past couple of nights?
Yeah, it's the far left rioting. I mean, the fact that the media is, after they were lambasted and mocked to just endlessly in 2020 for pulling the fiery but mostly peaceful line. It's a generally unruly crowd. Ali Velshi said that in Minneapolis. The fact that they're playing the same exact playbook again just shows they absolutely have not learned a single damn thing. And that's fine, because then it gives me job security, right? yesterday they marched to the federal facility, the federal building where ICE is headquartered at, and they were out there for hours, and eventually bottles were thrown at LAPD, and not even just plastic bottles, actually glass bottles, and one of them actually landed right next to me, because the Antifa guy or whatever did not have the arm strength to really get it to where his intended target was. So I mean, this isn't just police. Oh, we're just gonna crack down on them just because we feel like it. No, it was an unlawful assembly. I mean, they were getting violent. The crowd was getting violent, And it was only a matter of time before things escalated. And then, yeah, the problem that Los Angeles has specifically is just that it's so spread out, right? They're still in the process of securing the downtown area, but you ask anybody who's from the LA area, that downtown it comprises of just a small fraction of what people go to. I mean, you can spend your whole life in the county and never go downtown because it's so spread out. So I think the issue that they're running into is they're playing whack-a-mole right now with the current personnel they have. And that's why President Trump, understandably and justifiably, is sending more military members here, because you can clamp down on downtown, but then people can go to Santa Monica or Glendale, or like I said, people were rioting in Paramount and Compton the other day. So that's why I think it's going to continue in some form. I think it's significant that looting just started happening in the area around City Hall, because that's typically how it goes. The rioters have a primary target. If they can't get to that target easily, or they get pushed away from their primary target, then they'll just spread out and cause havoc, usually in the form of looting and burning cars or buildings. So we'll see what happens today. It is expected for people to again gather outside the federal building, but I wouldn't be surprised if it continues to spread in terms of looting hitting other places downtown, or even in Orange County in Santa Ana, where there was a riot there last night. And so this is spreading. I mean, it's not hard to see why it's spreading.
And again, there are supposedly big rallies, or they won't say riots, but rallies planned for next week as well. Before I let you go, Julio, have you seen other traditional media sources there? Are they present on the ground? Are they looking the right direction to see what's going on? What's the appearance of the media right now?
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand, because I have seen CNN, I have seen NBC, and other big name, someone from the New York Times, from the San Francisco field office was here. So I don't understand that they can actually send people and they will show what's going on, and yet it's the anchors or the guests that they bring on, or even the politicians, like Karen Bass or Gavin Newsom, it's the editorial decision to still run with, well, it's not really riots though, everything's fine. I mean, you have Brian Stelter, good old reliable sources, Brian Stelter, still pushing this. 99% of LA is fine. But you could say that about any place, about anything, but that just because it's not affecting 100% of the square miles that comprise of Los Angeles City or county, it's significant that there's large crowds gathering outside government buildings and attacking police and National Guardsmen. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that and of course they wouldn't use that same logic when it comes to January 6th. I covered that. You could walk two blocks away from the Capitol building and everything was fine. So it's just idiotic. It's just idiotic. And they're going to do what they're going to do. And like I was saying earlier, that's fine, because people tune them out, don't take them seriously, and they tune into people like Blaze or some of my other friends who are here as well.
Well, it's job security for Julio Rosas. He's Blaze Media national correspondent. He's been covering Los Angeles riots for us, and we're very thankful that he is. Thanks so much for bringing us all of this from the ground and putting yourself in the middle of all of it. I don't envy you for doing that, but I do appreciate your work.
Thanks, Sue.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt. Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
I got a million charts to get through, so I have to go do this quickly. But I did kind of tease at the beginning of the show, is the U.S. becoming more pro-choice or pro-life? And the answer to that is basically no. That's the TLDR for you here. Let's go through some of these. Pro-choice by gender. Really, you're seeing not much movement among men. Men are pretty much flat. They used to, basically, men and women have and it's funny, people think of this as, oh, women are the ones pushing this. Really, it's been pretty equal throughout our history, at least since the 90s. However, until very recently, around 2020, 2022, obviously, was the decision. You've seen now a difference. 61% of women now agree that are consider themselves pro-choice, 41% of men. Is it morally acceptable? This is abortion, morally acceptable. Again, men pretty much flat from 40 to around 40% the entire time in the 2000s. Women, same story up until about 2021, 2022, when they went up to about 57%. They remain right around there. Broad legality of abortion by gender. Do you think it should be legal in most circumstances? Now, 56% of people, again, the jump happening right around the Dobbs decision. This is not a huge surprise, by the way. None of this is a huge surprise. If you really want to squint on this one, you might be able to find a tad bit of good news. American self-identification on the abortion issue, pro-choice versus pro-life. Again, pretty much back and forth, around tied for all of our history until Dobbs. And then it becomes an issue of about an 8-point gap. 51 to 43. The last year or so, though, has moved a little bit toward the pro-life side. We'll see if that continues. Americans' views on the legality of abortion, should it be legal under most circumstances or any circumstance, is at 49%. Should it be legal in only a few or circumstances, or illegal in all circumstances? So basically, restrictive view or non-restrictive view. The non-restrictive view of abortion currently up 49 to 48 by 1 point. Now, that doesn't seem like a big difference. However, that point, it's been a huge difference before. I mean, we've seen, 20-point gaps in that number through our history, and now it's basically tied. So this is not going the right direction as far as, what I would prefer long-term. But, these are long-term battles. Of course, it took 50 years to overturn Roe versus Wade. You don't expect every change that you want made in the first couple of years. Americans' views on the morality of abortion, is it morally acceptable, morally wrong? About 49% say it is morally acceptable. That's been the minority position for most of our time until about Dobbs, and then that has switched. Again, this was a very well-known figure, factor of overturning Roe versus Wade. One of the things that was, the cynical Republicans recognized correctly was, hey, if we never get this overturned, we can kind of sit back and say, hey, we need this to overturn this. We can raise money. We can get people excited about voting for us. And then we never have to change anything. If we change something, that issue is going to go away for us. Because all Roe versus Wade did, overturning it, was to open up the conversation again. You couldn't do anything because of the Constitution supposed right for abortion. You couldn't change much of anything. So the debate really was never there. Now the debate is an actual thing. Like, some states have really restricted it. And of course, those people are going to be more fired up. That's not a surprise, but that is how it's played out. And then finally, the one thing to understand here is there's been almost no change in multiple decades, even after the Dobbs decision, among either independents or Republicans. Here's what this looks like. Independents flat for 25 years. Republicans pretty much flat, a little bit more restrictive on abortion, actually, from about 27% to 20% saying it should be legal under most circumstances. The change has been overwhelmingly with Democrats. It started at around 45%. Only 45% of Democrats thought it should be legal in most circumstances at the turn of the century. That's gone from 45 to 81% in a quarter century, 25 years. That is a massive, massive change. One other massive change I'll get to quickly. New York State Senate has approved doctor-assisted suicide bill. They've sent it to the Hochul's desk for approval. Another thing we're changing our mind on, apparently. Also, I will say, probably the most plausible option to vote for in the mayoral candidacy. It's either Cuomo, some socialist, or your third option, which is probably the right one, doctor-assisted suicide. Wall Street often claims your investments are neutral, but your retirement money frequently backs corporate policies opposing conservative values. Big investment firms usually avoid mentioning this because transparency can impact their bottom line. Every share you own grants voting rights, giving you real influence over corporate decisions. But most financial advisors don't teach you how to use this effectively. That's why Constitution Wealth is so important. They show you exactly how corporations leverage investor funds for political activism and help you invest in companies genuinely aligned with American ideals. So take control today. Visit constitutionwealth.com/blaze. constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Get a free consultation today. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at constitutionwealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing involves risk, as you know, including the risk of loss. I am a client of the firm, and this is a paid endorsement. My opinions, of course, are, as always, are my own. In a world that mocks masculinity and traditional values and fatherhood, your dad, maybe your husband, needs a place that still has his back. And that's where Blaze TV comes in. It's where unapologetic conservative voices call out the nonsense and stand up for what's right. Faith, family, and freedom. Right now, you can grab the Father's Day special. It's $30 off an annual subscription when you use the code DAD30. It's this week only. So skip the predictable gifts. This Father's Day, give them something that actually matters. Go to studiosamerica.com. Use the code DAD30. You'll get access to all of Blaze TV. Grab the deal and remind him he's not alone. It's a great gift for Father's Day. studiosamerica.com. The code DAD30.